started the book of John last week, and all of these we're going to consider while we go through the book of John, but I wanted to look at them all at once. I've entitled this message, The I Ams of Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't say grow in knowledge about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what I hope takes place tonight. I hope we come to know him better. Understand this. Your faith is as strong as you know who he is. Let me repeat that. Your faith is as strong as you know who he is. Now he says to these people in John chapter 8, verse 24, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Now, where does his name, I Am, come from? I'm sure most of you are familiar with what took place in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Moses as a burning bush that was not consumed. And I hesitate to use this word because it's sometimes applied to human beings and it shouldn't be. But I admire the genius of God in appearing this way. Now, I'm not talking about genius the way somebody says so-and-so's a genius. No, let's forget that. Let's use this word only with regard to him. But in that burning bush that could not be consumed, I love to think about that. That bush burned without needing any of the energy of the wood to burn. It just kept burning. Jesus Christ is independent God. He has no needs. Isn't it glorious to have a Savior who has no needs? Isn't it glorious to worship a Savior who has no needs outside of himself? And this bush was not consumed. This speaks of the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not be consumed. Not only was he not consumed by the wrath of God, he consumed the wrath. So that God says, there is no fury in me. What a glorious Savior he is, and how beautifully he's typified in this bush. Now, at that time, he said to Moses, when Moses said, who am I going to tell them sent me? He said, I am that I am. Do you know he's the only one who can say this? Me and you, we have to say, when we say I am what I am, we don't even know what we are. So we can't make that kind of statement. We can say I used to be, I could be, I want to be, I was, I will be. All kinds of different ways that language can be used. But only Jesus Christ can be called I am that I am. He never says, I was. He never says, I will be. He never says, I should be. He never says, I used to be. He never says, I could be. He is always the eternal I am that I am. And the Lord says in John chapter 8, verse 24, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. If you believe not that I am the one who appeared to Moses in the bush that burned and could not be consumed, you will die in your sins. I am that I am. Several things he says in John chapter 8. Look in verse 56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to me to see my day. And I feel quite sure he's talking about what took place in Genesis 22 when a substitute ram was provided for his son. You reckon Abraham rejoiced? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Look back in verse 23 of John chapter 8. Once again, I've already read these. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. He is other. I can't say that strong enough. He's not of this world. In John chapter 7, verse 29, he said, I'm from him. Where are you from? I'm from him. In John chapter 10, verse 36, he said, I am the Son of God. And remember what that means. You remember when the Pharisees got upset that he called God his Father? Because they understood when he said that in John chapter 5, verse 18, he was making himself equal with God. And the only way you can be equal with God is to be God. There is no other way. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. All the infinite, immeasurable, incomprehensible fullness of the God of glory all dwells in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That body that was nailed to a cross, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. In John chapter 4, verse 26, that poor old woman at the well, she was confused. That's all you could say of her. She was confused. And she said, I know that when Messiah cometh, who is Christ, he will tell us all things. You know what he said to that woman? I am. He's God's Christ. He's God's prophet. He's the word of God. He's God's priest. He's the one who represents people like me and you to God. Oh, what a priest he is. He's God's king. He has absolute control. In John chapter 18, verse 4, when they came to arrest him with a band of men, some say in upwards of 500 people, he says to them, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And what happened? They were driven backward to the ground. know what the Lord is letting them know at that time? I'm no victim in this situation. I'm not in your hands. You're in mine. And you are my pawns doing my bidding, performing my will. They found that out for sure at that time when they were driven backwards. I love to think about them getting up. He says again, "Whom seek ye?" I bet they were scared this time. They're probably pretty brazen and bold the first time. "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I think their tone was different. Jesus of Nazareth. "I am. Let these go their way." And they were all set free. In John chapter 18, verse 34, they asked, Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Isn't that so evident? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Now, what he's talking about, when he's talking about his servants, he's not simply talking about the 12 or the 11 at this time. He's saying, the weather is waiting to do my will. All the angelic beings are waiting to attack. Don't you know that if that was my will, I could call for 12 legions of angels, 12,000 angels, and just obliterate this place if that was my will? My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence? Pilate replies, "So you are a king. Thou sayest," you said it correctly, "I am king. I am king. King of kings and Lord of lords, he that was born King of the Jews." There's such glory in his person as the great I am that I am. You call me Master and Lord. You say, "Well, I am." Now, I want to consider his I ams in light of what he is to his people. These are all found in the book of John. Like I said, as we go through John, we'll consider them individually. But think of this. I love this scripture where he said, "I am the light of the world." Now, in the context, there was a woman who was taken in adultery in the very act, and there wasn't any question about her guilt. And the Pharisees, the scribes, I guess they had this set up. I don't know. You know, they caught her in the act, and they drag her before the Lord. And they say, "Moses said in the law that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" Now, this woman was guilty. Now, let me remind you, if you haven't committed adultery physically, you have done so in your heart a whole lot of times. A whole lot of times. You're just as guilty as this woman is. You know, the Lord said, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already." I mean, the real thing. Now, what does the Lord do when they brought this woman to him, thinking that they had him entrapped? We've got him in a place where he's going to be condemned. If he says condemn her, we can say, "Where is your mercy? Where is the grace you talk about?" If he says, "Let her go," where is your respect for God's law? Where is your respect for the commandments? They thought they had him in a no-win situation. And I love the way he stooped down and wrote on the ground while they were talking. Aren't you listening to us?
No.
Just writing. And there's no way anybody can know what he was writing. I realize that. This is just speculation. I heard somebody say recently, you shouldn't speculate about it. Well, I can't help it. I believe he was writing in those two stoops. The two times God's finger wrote, only twice. First was the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the only other time it's written, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. In Daniel chapter 5, when he wrote on the wall with King Belshazzar, somebody suggested he was writing names and dates. I don't know that that's the case, but it could be. Whatever he was writing, he stood up the second time and said, he that's without sin among you. And I have no doubt he's talking about this sin. He that's without sin among you, cast the first stone. And you know how they all were convicted by their own conscience. They weren't convicted by the Holy Spirit, because if they were, they would have come to him for mercy. You know, he always gives mercy to anybody who needs it.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
But they being convicted by their own conscience, they left him. And the woman was left alone. And he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I. You know why? There was nothing to condemn her for. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There was nothing to condemn her for. Christ put that sin away, and he is the light as to have God cannot condemn me because I have no guilt. I stand before God, and this is true of every one of God's people without exception. I stand before God absolutely just, holy, righteous, and without sin. Christ is the light as to how that can be. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I bet you already have that memorized. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I love the way he says, I am the way. He doesn't say, I am a way. He is the way that utterly excludes all other ways. He is the way to God. There is no other way. He is the truth. He is the truth concerning the very character of God. He is the truth concerning, if you want to know what you are, don't look at yourself. Look at him. And you'll be able to figure it out if you ever see who he is. The reason people have high opinions of themselves is only this. They have no idea who Jesus Christ really is. If you know who he is, you won't have this high, cocky, arrogant opinion of yourself. You'll know you're nothing but sin in and of yourself if you know who he is. You see, he's the truth. He's the truth of God's salvation. He is God's salvation. He is the truth. You know, with regard to the truth, this is an amazing thing. I couldn't say the truth if my life depended on it. I mean unvarnished truth. I mean absolute truth. I couldn't say the truth if my life depended on it. I'd always slant it in some way. Even if I'm quoting scripture, something's wrong with me. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the only life God accepts. The only way God can accept me or you, or will accept me or you, is if the life of Jesus Christ is our life before God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And here's another one in John. I love this. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. Now, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, listen to this with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an open door for every sinner. And he's a closed door for everybody else. It is that simple. He's an open door. Come on in. You're welcome. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how evil you are. I don't care what you've done. He's an open door for every sinner. And he's a closed door for everybody else. Now, what's the door do? Let you in. What's the door do? Keeps you in. What's the door do? It opens to freedom. It opens to liberty. What a glorious picture. Christ the door. He said, I am the door. And then in John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm that shepherd that David was speaking of when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is who Peter called the chief shepherd. He's who the writer to the Hebrews called that great shepherd of the sheep. And he said, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. There's only one good shepherd, isn't there? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. You're included in that if you're a sheep. You're included in that if you're a sinner. I can see myself as a sinner easier than I can a sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. And the thing that is, if he laid down his life for you, my friend, you're saved. Your sins have been put away. His death blotted out your sins. You stand before God without guilt. You stand before God perfect. Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, there's something about the death of Christ that is so altogether glorious. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. This is not some mere man. This is not like me dying or you dying. This is the God-man dying. And that's, to me, that's just something I believe. The God-man died. How could that be? I don't know, but he did. And I know what he accomplished by his death. He put away the sins of his people as the good shepherd of the sheep. In John chapter 11, verse 25, the Lord was speaking to Martha. And he said, thy brother shall rise again. Remember how Lazarus had died? He'd been in the grave 4 days. He'd already gone through the process of decay where he began to stink. And the Lord said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, well, I know he'll rise on the last day. She'd been taught with regard to the resurrection. She had her doctrine straight on the resurrection. When the last day comes and Christ comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise. All men will rise. All men will stand before God in judgment. The sheep will be saved. The goats will be lost. I've got that down as to what's going to take place. I do too. I understand that. One of these days, the dead are going to raise. I mean, people that are nothing but dust, their bodies are going to come back. The sea is going to give up her dead. The dead will be raised. And the Lord said, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not an event. I am the resurrection. When I'm raised from the dead, all of my people are raised from the dead. Now that physical resurrection will take place, but that doesn't take away from this. I am the resurrection. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. I'm looking forward to that time when my dead body is raised up, but my spiritual body has already been raised up, and I'm in heaven right now in the person of my Savior. That's why I love I'd like for somebody to say, are you sure for heaven? I'm already there. I'm already there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 1. He said, I am the vine. There's an I am. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, I've been trying to think about this. This is the closest possible illustration of what union with Christ actually is. Now, I've said before, the closest relationship there can be is a baby in the mother's womb. But you know what? There's a closer relationship. That is very close. There's no doubt about it. You think of how dependent that baby in the womb is on its mother for everything. What a close relationship. But this is closer. The same stem that goes through the vine goes through the branches. There's no connecting point. The same stem that goes through the vine goes through the branches. Now, this is a great mystery, but both he that sanctifieth, Hebrews 2:11, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Do you know God's elect have always been perfectly united to Jesus Christ? Always. There's never been a time when I have not been united to Him. One with Him. To this extent, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is. Now you just take that however you want. As he is. Perfect to the Father. Eternally with the Father. As he is. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. As he is. Altogether lovely. Whatever you want to say he is. As he is, so are we. In this world. I am the vine. Now, that means I have always been a person to him. I might have been born physically on September 9th, 1959, but I have always been in him eternally. Logically, obviously, he came first. But I've always been in him, and I've always been accepted in the Beloved. Oh, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Look in John 6 for just a moment, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, what you eat becomes part of you, doesn't it? What you eat becomes part of you. And I think that has something to do with the great mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, I am the bread of life. Well, how do I eat this bread of life? He said, I'm the bread of life. Well, he gives two very simple illustrations in this verse. He says, him that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Now, what is it to eat the bread of life? Well, it's to come to him. It's to come to him. And coming to Christ is what every believer does, just the way that leper came to him. Preached on that just a few weeks ago. Preached on it last night in Danville, actually. That leper coming to him. How did he come? He came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, that's what folks who come to Christ do. They come into his presence, worshiping him for who he is. Now, what that means is, when you worship him, if he doesn't give you what you want, he's still worthy of worship because of who he is. And you haven't come to him if you haven't come just like that. He is to be worshiped, whatever he does with me. If he sends me to hell, he's still worthy of all worship. He came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, he acknowledged he's the Lord. If you will, he acknowledged his sovereign will. If you will, not I will, but if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. I'm filthy. I can't make myself clean. Make me clean if you will. And he didn't say anything else after that. He just waited for what the Lord said. And the Lord said, I will. And he says that to everyone who comes like that. I will. Be thou clean. And just to make sure we understand what it means to come to Christ, he says, he that believeth on me. He that believes who I am. And rest the entire weight of their salvation on who I am and my ability to do what I said I'd do. He that believeth on me. If you ever come to Christ and believe on Christ, you will not be thirsting or hungering for anything else. Somebody says there's got to be something else. Well, you just haven't come to him in the first place. Because if you've ever come to him in the first place, you don't want anything else. You simply want to be found in him. He is the bread of life. And then in John, this is the last one we'll look at. John chapter 6. verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. That's going to happen a lot. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, I am. I know it says, it is I in the King James, but it's the same, I am. I am. I am good. I am always good. I am holy. I am all powerful. I am all knowing. I'm everywhere. You can't go anywhere where I'm not. I am sovereign. I'm in control of everybody and everything. My will is always done. I am just. I am immutable. I never change. I am independent. I am eternal. I am infinite. I am all wise. I am merciful. That's his nature. I am gracious. I am love. Be not afraid. I am. Be not afraid. Now, this one who is I am, the God of glory, is the Savior who says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast off. What a glorious Savior. I am that I am. And I hope we can know him more and more as such by his grace. Let's pray together. Lord, we bow before thee as the great I am. We're so thankful that your Son is the good shepherd, that he's the door, that he's the vine and we're the branches, that he is the resurrection and the life. We're so thankful for his salvation. Lord, we're so thankful for the revelation of your person. We're so thankful for the gospel of your glory. Accept our thanksgiving through the great I am. Lord, what a blessed, glorious thing by your grace to know you, the great I am that I am. And Lord, we confess the only reason we know you is because you've been pleased to reveal yourself to us. And we thank you for the revelation of your person, the revelation of your grace. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen.